Good morning.
It's been a while since I've got to preach, and it's been even longer since I've been able to preach here at Barnesville. So I appreciate the offer when Grandpa asked if I'd be willing to come preach to you guys. So I'm happy to be able to, and hopefully you guys can take something away from this morning. Hopefully I'm not going to talk too long today. I'm going to go through, make a few points, hopefully provoke your thought a little bit, and the sermon will be yours. But I appreciate Brother Jared reading that this morning. And just turn it on. Sure. Do you hold it? Okay. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Sorry, should have this hooked up before. Anyways, thank you, Jared, for reading that. And if you were paying attention, that scripture reading, that last verse talking about sufficient is the evil of the day, and that's kind of the thought that kind of made me want to speak about that this morning. So as we go through this, try to keep that in mind about what you worry and if something's actually worth worrying about. I'm not going to tell you some secret that's going to get rid of all your worry. Worrying about me preaching this morning isn't going to make it any easier. There's no solution to that, but hopefully we'll be able to maybe manage our worry a little better after hearing this. So first off, I might ask, what exactly is worry? Well, you can use it as a noun or a verb, and it's from the dictionary. As a noun, it's a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. So it doesn't actually have to be something real or something that's actually going to happen. In fact, it seems like we usually worry about stuff that's not ever going to happen anyway. It's a hypothetical situation. And as a verb, it's to give way to anxiety or unease, allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. So, there you have it. That's what worry is and what we're going to talk about a little bit. Like I said before, it seems like we seem to focus on hypothetical problems that are going to be happening. It doesn't actually mean it's going to happen. But we do seem to fixate on potential problems we're going to run into. And a lot of the times we worry about things we can't even control. We're sitting there stressing and can't figure out what to do. And in fact, you can't really control what you're worrying about anyways. So, as I'm sure all know, that stress and worry weighs on your physical body as much as your mind. And there's health problems that are associated with it. An easy example, everybody's went through school or is in school now and has had a big test. And there's nothing worse than having a test that you are either prepared for or not prepared for and sitting there stressed a minute before the test. Now, there's different kinds of stress. Maybe you're playing cards and you have one card and you're not really sure which one to lay. That stress, that's the same stress, but it's a little bit different than a type of stress or worry that consumes you. I'm sure everybody has something to worry about or can think of something to worry about if they don't already, and how that consumes your thoughts and minds. And the problem is you don't really pay attention to what's going on around you. Like on that big test day, a minute before that test handed out, you're not thinking about anything else. You're thinking about, what in the world am I going to do on this test? You're not thinking about what's for lunch. So that's one issue about worrying too much, is you forget about what's important and what's going on around you. So, everybody is going to encounter something to worry about, something that's going to stress them in their life. In Job 5:7 reads, "Yet man is born unto trouble, and as sparks fly upward." So, we're born into trouble. We're going to run into trouble, and it's just a part of life. And it's something we're going to worry about, in fact. excuse me. A good example of someone that had something to worry about is actually Jesus. So just like it says there, every man is born into trouble. Jesus had trouble himself in his life. And if you would like to turn to Matthew 26 and verses 36 through 39. Matthew 26, 36 through 39. This is Jesus. We were actually talking about this in Bible class this morning. What he knew was about to happen to him. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to be hung on the cross and die and be resurrected. He knew what all was getting ready to happen to him. Just like we might worry about what we're going to cook for dinner tomorrow night. There's something that you're always worrying about. But Jesus had something real to worry about. Matthew 26:36-39. And then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto him, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. So you see how Jesus handled this very worrisome, stressful situation. He prayed to God the Father to help him find a solution to get through this, but he said, It's your will, not my will. It's like we previously said, worry drains you physically and it drains you mentally. It consumes your every thought. When something is really bothering you, it's hard to really focus on anything else. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says, Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And I'm sure everybody's been down in the dumps and worried about something, and really appreciate when someone says something nice, maybe lifts your spirits. Everybody does go through something, and lots of people have things to worry about. And some people have a lot more to worry about than other people do. So just think, if you're worrying about something, maybe might put it in better perspective when you think about someone else and what they're going through. So don't hesitate to say something nice to maybe lift someone up, to maybe make their day a little nicer. Like, it goes a long ways. So we already read this Matthew 6:27, but I think it illustrates a good point. It's talking about things that are out of our control, something else we seem to worry about a lot. And Matthew 6:27, which we already read, says, Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And that's never really bothered me. Eventually you realize, I'm done growing. There's no point worrying about whether I'm going to be short or not. There's nothing you can do thinking about it going to make you any taller. But there's lots of things that we think about, worry about. It doesn't matter if you worry or not. It's not going to change it. You might be worried about decisions other people might make. You think, I hope they don't do this or don't do that. But worrying about that, it's not going to change what they'd say or do. You might think about a deadline and think, man, if only I had an extra week, I'd just be so much better. Like, well, you don't have control of that deadline, and maybe you wouldn't do anything different even if you had a different date. Or something else that's a good example is the weather. I remember my grandparents, my other grandparents, they would watch the weather. It was the local, or the weather on the 8s or something like that. And it seemed like they would watch the weather. Every 10 minutes, this weather would come on. They'd be worrying about what the weather was going to be like. And I just remember as a kid thinking, how silly is that? You think the weather's going to change every 10 minutes? You don't have any control over the weather anyways. Now, anyway, you can plan ahead. I'm not saying that you shouldn't plan ahead, but there's some things that aren't worth worrying about. So, another situation we tend to worry about is when we're uncertain about what to do. There's always seems to be a problem that comes up, and there's not a good solution. This happens all the time. I'm bad about this. As you get to a stopping point, and you do your pros and cons, and you think about, well, this, it's got this, but it doesn't have that. And what happens is they're stuck together, and there's no good answer, it seems like. And in reality, you're better off deciding right then and there, making a decision and going with it, instead of putting it off, procrastinating, and say, well, you know, it's kind of a toss-up. I'll wait later, and then I'll decide. In James chapter 1, verse 8, it says, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's talking about what I just said. You're better off, make up your mind and go with it. If you'd like to open your Bibles, we are going to read a couple parables this morning. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 19, and verses 16 through 22, about the rich young ruler. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is no good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which, Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this young man had a decision to make, and it doesn't say what he did. Well, I guess he didn't follow Jesus, so he decided. But it'd be impossible for us to think about what we would do in that situation unless we were actually told by Jesus that. We like to think that we would sell all our stuff and follow Jesus, but he had quite a decision to make there. Obviously, we know what the right decision should have been, but it's not always easy to follow that right decision when you come to that hard decision. We also tend to worry about things when we're afraid of failing. Worry about things when we're afraid of failing. Another parable we're going to read this morning, it's about the parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Chapter there. I made sure I had my verses right. Okay, no, that's right. Sorry. Didn't trust myself. Matthew 25:14-30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling in a far country, and had called his own servants and unto them his goods. And unto one he had gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10. For unto one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, where I was trying to get at with this parable is the guy that took his 1 talent and didn't do anything with it. He was so worried about messing up and not coming up with more than he had, that he didn't do anything with it. He buried it and hid it in the dirt. And that really hindered him. And that happens to us today. When we worry so much about messing up, we don't do anything, which is so easy to do. And in this particular case, the guy with 1 talent did that. Buried in the ground, and that wasn't good enough. We need to be improving and utilizing what we have and not worrying about messing up as much. Something else we tend to worry about is physical things, monetary things. And this is easy to do. You need stuff, physical things to live, and we work all week so that we can gain that. But it's something we should try to not worry so much about, because in the end it's just matter that's all going to be gone eventually at some point. And if you don't mind, I am going to read another parable here this morning. In Luke chapter 12, we're going to read about the parable of the rich man. Chapter 12, and verses 16 through 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for him many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. So, here's another parable illustrating how silly it is to worry about physical things. They're going to be gone one of these days, then it won't mean a thing. Another thing we tend to worry about is people. We deal with lots of people every day, whether it's work here, church, friends, family. You're going to deal with people, and there's all kinds of people. Now, I won't read through the next parable of the sower, but we all should be familiar with that, and all the different types of ground there were that represented all the different types of people. Some people were easier to get along with. They'll take what you're saying and appreciate it and do something with it. And there's some people that are just going to ignore you. But we're going to be dealing with people that are hard every, well, I shouldn't say every day, but most weeks we're going to deal with somebody that's difficult. And you might worry about who you're going to deal with tomorrow at work. You know, there's some people you kind of dread. You got to talk to so and so. It's all going to be all right. In the end, it's pretty insignificant. At the end of the week, it'll all be over. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, it says, Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. So, try not to worry too much about the people you're going to have to deal with, and try to show as much love as you can, and everything's going to be all right. Another thing we tend to worry about is what's going to happen in the future. And I'm not saying you shouldn't plan ahead. That's always good to be prepared. But it's not always great to be thinking about all these hypothetical things that could go wrong. You're going to be wasting your time for most of that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34 says, Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And this is kind of the thought that I maybe want to preach this sermon. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough to worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Just worry about getting through today. And the same thing can be said for the past. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, it says, And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow, looketh back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. So, I'm not saying we shouldn't learn from our past. When we make a mistake, don't make the same mistake twice. And you should plan ahead of the future so you don't run into problems. But you need to be worrying about today and not what's going to happen and what happened yesterday. So I'm going to give you an example. It's not a parable, finally. And it's about a guy named Jehoshaphat. And most people probably don't know a whole lot about him other than he was kind of fat. But we're going to read a story about him in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to skim through some of the story there. But it is an example about a guy that had a lot to worry about. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verses 1 through 3. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, there be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaiming a fast throughout all Judah. So he was afraid. All these people were building up their armies, getting ready to attack Israel. And if you read through there, Israel really wasn't really prepared. These were the big guys picking on the little guy. They didn't really have much of a chance of a fight here. So what did Jehoshaphat do? Well, if you slide farther down there in verses 14 through 17, there's some tough words here, but upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Maniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord. So this is a Levite speaking to them for God's behalf. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but is God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, behold, and come upon by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself and stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." So you can see there, Jehoshaphat was worried about this battle, that he didn't really have a chance of winning. And he asked God, asked for help there, and he said, "You don't have to worry. I'll be with you. I'll help you. Go against them. It'll be all right." And this is the important part, is Jehoshaphat went through it. Even though his odds weren't really great there, he went through with it. And in verses 18 through 22, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of Kohathites, and the children of Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoah, and they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and heard, "Hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper." So he went through with this, and they were successful in battle. And that problem that he was so worried about, God helped him through that. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you by such as in common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God's never going to push us too far that we can't handle it. Might seem like that. He's always going to give a way of escape. And it might not be the decision we want to make either, but he's going to give us a way of escape. Oops, upside down. So, the sermon is supposed to be about how to avoid this. All this worry that we worry about. And the easiest way I can think about it is to maybe rationalize it. Ask yourself, why am I worrying? Spend some time, think about it. Sometimes it's hard. And when you finally, if you do have something that's worth worrying about, ask yourself, is there a way to fix it? Can you find a way to fix the problem instead of sitting there thinking about, woe is me, there's nothing I can do, I'm just going to sit here and worry. Sometimes you're better off just trying to find a way to fix the problem so you don't have to. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." God will be there to help us, help you find a way out. Try to avoid worrying about things you can't change, because there's no point. When you are worrying, you're not trusting in God. When you worry, you think there's something that you're coming short of, and you should be putting that worry into trust God. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Put that worry, turn it into trust into God, and you'll be a lot less stressed. Philippians 4:6-7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus." Ask God for help if you are worrying, and we'll help you get through it. So in conclusion here, like I said, ask yourself, do you have something to worry about? We talked about all the things we worry about. Some things really aren't that significant in the scheme of it all. But do you really have something to worry about? Talking about your soul's salvation. That is something that is worth worrying about. In John 14, 1 through 3 reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." If your heart truly is right, you have nothing to worry about. The beginning of this verse says, "Let not your heart be troubled." God's prepared a place for you if you are right with God. Like I said, ask yourself, do you have something to worry about? And if you do, I'd ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.